Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we're going to continue our conversation on a few ways to manage depressive symptoms.
Right.
Without medication, without any of that business going on.
Right. Either without medication or in addition to medication.
Right.
Either
right.
one. You can use these techniques.
Right. So yesterday we spoke about dealing with some of those different thoughts that we have and you know, sort of decreasing our tendency to ruminate and sort of repeatedly think about the things that make us depressed, those negative thoughts, those depressive thoughts that are attributed to our depression. And we discussed, you know, not fighting that. You know, you want to avoid fighting against your subconscious drive to think about those things,
right.
and work instead of controlling the way that you're thinking about
right.
it.
Right.
And today's conversation goes right along with that.
Yeah, another step in that same direction.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually the report of a study. This
yeah.
was an actual study
mm-hmm.
that found that 80% of patients, if they use this, it's not a, well, it's a relatively new technique.
Right.
It's older in the sense of 2009, I think it was
mm-hmm.
published.
Yeah.
But it's new in the sense of, I don't think it's common yet, commonly
right.
used.
Right.
And it's called metacognitive therapy.
Right.
And the term metacognitive simply means thinking about our thinking.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the in the previous podcast, we've talked about not fighting our thoughts, not battling mm-hmm. with our subconscious. And the when we try to say, don't do that,
mm-hmm.
don't think about that, we tend to do it more.
Right.
Okay. So this is this step that we're taking today is about thinking about how we think.
Right.
Not having the thought itself, but
right.
thinking about how we think about the thought.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! That's like, it's like Inception. It's like a dream inside a dream inside a dream.
That's a movie, isn't it?
Yeah, you didn't see that movie, I'm sure. I'm sure of it.
No.
It was
but I know
released
people who
in
did.
The 21st century, so I don't think you've seen it.
Good.
Yeah?
That means I haven't seen any movies in the 21st
well,
century?
Well, not as far as I know.
2016?
Except for Star Wars.
You
saw
I went
Star
with
Wars.
You took
that's right. That's right.
Well, we didn't date, but we.
All right. So about medic, how did you get us? Was that your fault or
no,
my
no,
fault?
No, that was no.
It was somebody's fault. But we're going to talk about this metacognitive therapy. So
right.
thinking about how you're thinking,
right.
and the way that this sort of works. Like we said, when we talked about it yesterday, we were talking about not fighting the thoughts.
Right.
What metacognitive therapy does is it encourages you and tries to get you to think about the thoughts in a more positive way.
Right.
And think about the reason that you're thinking about mm-hmm. the thoughts in a more positive way.
That's right. You acknowledge the negative thoughts.
Right.
You know, that's not, and that's what we said yesterday. You acknowledge the negative thoughts, but you think about them differently.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of thinking going on.
Right.
But what you want to do is something like this. So, you know, let's say that you're ruminating over a particular thought related mm-hmm. to how unhappy you are with your job.
Right.
And so with metacognitive therapy, what the therapist or what you would work through in this process is to tell yourself, you know, I know that I'm thinking about this,
mm-hmm.
but thinking about this problem is
right.
going to help me find a solution to this
That's
problem.
Right. That's right. If I think about this and I start to work through it, okay, I can come up with a solution.
Right.
If I don't think about it at all, if I try to just battle it, I'm not doing anything to solve the problem.
Right. Because you're battling to not think about the
That's
problem,
right.
which means that you're battling to not solve the problem.
And so what metacognitive therapy does is it gives us a process to use
right.
rather than focusing on the thought itself, the
right.
content of our thinking.
Right.
Okay.
And as you said a moment ago, this article or the study that this mm-hmm. article that presents this article or the study that this article presents, that's right, that's what you say.
Right.
It shows that 80% of the people who were depressed, who were received this metacognitive therapy, were symptom-free.
Reduction of symptoms within
in 10 weeks.
In 10 weeks.
10 weeks.
That's what's pretty impressive
about it. That's very impressive, right. And, you know, there was a control group, and in the control group, only 5% showed an improvement in
pretty
symptoms.
Significant change.
And the reason that we're saying it like that is because 10 weeks is a relatively short study.
Very short time. Because when you think about medication, it may be a month, it may be 3 or 4 or 5 weeks before medication works.
Right, okay? Before it even starts to work, not take away all the symptoms
before
you start seeing any effect. Right. And then you have to deal with the dosage and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So
that's if the first medication works.
Right.
You know, it might not work, and then you're in another couple of weeks to try a second medication. So 10 weeks is a relatively short time for anything that addresses the symptoms associated with depression.
Exactly. And again, if we kind of pull together a lot of the things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks, if you take this cognitive behavioral therapy or metacognitive therapy. I say cognitive behavioral, didn't I? Because it's cognitive behavioral has been the model that they've been that has been encouraged for so long.
You know, we've been teaching this in learning theory. I teach a course in learning theory. We teach this all the time in education, you know, in educational context. And cognitive behavioral therapy came out, and it was change your thinking.
Right.
Then metacognitive therapy was sort of a next, not metacognitive therapy, but metacognition was sort of the next step after cognitive behavioral therapy. What metacognition said, what metacognitive theorists were saying is, let's think about our thinking.
Right.
Let's think about how we think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want kids to do when they're in a learning environment.
Right.
You need to think about how you're thinking, and you need to gain control of it. And that's what this is. This is metacognition in a therapeutic setting.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's thinking about how you think.
Right. So again, if you combine this with the things we were talking about with the diet, with the exercise or getting yourself out there and not battling against yourself and dealing with your sleep, You now have a very well-rounded approach that, for the most part, you can do on your own. You don't even really need medication. Right. Or you may not need medication. You may not need any other supports other than just, you know, this dealing with this in with these different approaches on your own.
Right. We've been saying for years that most of these disorders require a multimodal approach.
Right.
We use the term multimodal approach. And what we're talking about this week are a number of techniques that add a modality.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have, we've gone from medication, a single modality, to diet, to exercise, to sleep, to metacognition. So we're adding modalities. Mm-hmm. And the more you have, the more of these things you do, the greater the likelihood that you're going to have a reduction of symptoms.
Right.
And you'll gain control of these things.
Exactly. And the beauty is that once you have mastered or you become familiar with some of these things, you're going to be able to then prevent future episodes. Because as soon as you see yourself starting to slide into that tendency to ruminate and to feel more depressed than usual, you're going to be able to start implementing these things right away, which is going to prevent you from going into, you may still feel a little depressed, but it's going to prevent you from going into maybe a major depressive episode, and it's going to help you maintain a healthier mood generally in your life.
And you have to use them to get good at them.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's like everything else. If you use them on a regular basis, you'll get better at it, and then they become preventive, because then, as you say, as soon as you begin to get the first inklings that you're slipping into a depression, you can use these different modalities to prevent you from going there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So,
I'm excited about this stuff.
Yeah,
this is really exciting.
It really is. It's and we've actually been talking about it here in the office as far as how we can start to implement some of these things here so that we can help you or anyone that needs to come in and get help with this, help you manage some of these things a little bit easier. Because it is difficult to do some of this stuff on your own.
Right.
And so the support of others is really needed sometimes.
And before we leave this topic, we're getting ready to leave this topic.
Correct.
Well, today's topic.
Yeah.
Before we leave it, when... You know, very frequently people say, well, you need cognitive behavioral therapy, or you do they do dialectical behavioral therapy, or do they do metacognitive therapy? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Okay. you do what's necessary, and the more of those that you do, we're going to espouse that the more of those things you learn how to do, the better off you're going to be. So there is no single therapy, like we said before. There's no magic with cognitive behavioral therapy or dialectical behavioral therapy. Each has a use. Each is useful for something. So what we're saying is let's use a number of these things for the different struggles that you have.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't use anything to replace sleep deprivation.
Right.
If you're sleep deprived, you have to work on your sleep. It doesn't matter if you do cognitive behavioral therapy. You still have to sleep.
Absolutely. And you know, they say, well, you can be put on medication to help you sleep. But the research is pretty clear with that, that it's not a very healthy sleep. I mean,
it's not the kind of sleep you're going to want.
Right. Yes, you're asleep. And yes, you may feel more rested than not. But it doesn't give you... Medication-induced sleep is not the same as sleep.
It may not be a restorative sleep.
Right.
You may feel groggy the next morning. You may feel a little foggy the next morning. Not the medication's fault. It's that you don't get the kind of restorative sleep that you're really seeking.
Right. So
yeah, no single therapy works for everybody or for everything.
Absolutely. So all right. Well, that is
good.
It for today.
Next topic.
Yeah.
Can we do another one?
Okay.
Like on this topic.
Sure. When?
Tomorrow?
I don't know. We'll see.
Let's look.
All right. So we'll be back to talk more with you tomorrow.
Oh, good. We are.
Let's see. So
okay.
Until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.